Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, we're leaving for Vegas this weekend.
We're leaving for Vegas, dude. You're finally cashing in on your bet that you won last year.
It is exciting. Thank you very much, New Jersey Devils and LA Kings. Because by the time they got to the cup, it was curtains for you, dude, because I had them both.
Yeah.
I had them both.
Dude. I'm so glad of some of my draft picks this year already. Very excited about picking Washington. Very excited about picking Philly. It's really shaping up to be another good year for me.
I don't know. I'll be seeing you in Vegas again next year on your dime one more time, maybe.
Very likely.
I've got Boston and I've got Chicago, so I feel pretty good right now.
Yeah.
What I don't feel good about right now is the Sharks, because they've lost six in a row, dude, and it's got dim ugly in the last week.
Let's be honest.
Week.
Dude, this is a show.
Is this the direction it's going to go?
Yeah. I was just looking at the schedule, and it's pretty funny because Yahoo has, pages for the different months, and you look at January and it's all green, and you look at February and it's all red. Yeah. They have not won a game in February. We're halfway through the month. They've lost six in a row. They scored seven goals in six games. Oh, where to begin? They lost three in a row when they lost to Chicago when we talked last week. So the latest three are against three very beatable teams: Phoenix, Columbus, and Nashville. And the Columbus game in particular.
There are three teams below 500, all right? Three below 500 teams. I mean, Phoenix, this is the thing about the NHL. This is a tangent. The standings, you know, you look at their record, you know, it doesn't look so bad. Like Nashville, 5-3-4. All right, they're 5-7.
Yeah.
All right. It's like the Sharks, it doesn't look that bad. 7-3-3. Well, they're 7-6.
Yes, they're 500.
You know, they're almost 500, and I'll tell you what, after Friday night they're going to be 500,
because
I have no confidence that they can go in and even be competitive with the Blackhawks right now.
They're going to get worked.
Every direction points towards that.
I know.
And you'll be in Vegas to enjoy it. Drink up, dude.
I will be.
Well,
did I tell you to bet the Blue Jackets the other day? We were talking about,
I know.
You've been practicing.
I agreed with you. I would never bet on a game that involves the Sharks.
Yeah,
anyways.
Me either.
But when the Sharks rolled into Columbus and the Blue Jackets were at home and like a plus 170 dog, said, there's no way I take the Sharks at minus 160, which for people who are not degenerate gamblers like us, know that you have to put down $160 to win $100.
Right.
No way. The way that they have been playing.
I take the Jackets all day long.
Oh, yeah. And that, you know, someone did, and I'm sure won some good money on that, although probably no one was really paying much attention to that game.
Probably not.
Dude, there's so many things that are going wrong. I guess A number one is, we can't score. We cannot score at all.
Seven goals in six games.
Cannot score. The top line is completely anemic.
Right.
It's dried up, and there's no secondary scoring. The power play is for shit.
Yep.
And what can you say about that, dude? I mean, what are you seeing when you watch these games?
I see none of the stuff on the power play that I saw in the early games. There's no movement of people. You see, it's the same thing. These guys are looking around. They're looking to make this pass. I like the sort of the shot pass deflection thing that I've seen several times during the power play. That's a good strategy. But the problem is when you have five guys basically standing still, you have NHL quality defenders out there. They know what the passing lanes are and they know what the shooting lanes are. And if you don't move, guess what? They're going to be standing in those passing and shooting lanes.
What I don't understand is how a group of guys who had a ton of movement on the power play, they were so effective, then all of a sudden, they just forget how to do it.
I know.
And this happens every year with them. I can't understand that. I was trying to relate that to something in my own life, that like, you know, you're, you know, I guess the only thing I can think of is I'm about to go on stage or something.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you know, I go out there and I completely forget how to open my mouth.
Or you just turn your back to the audience.
Yeah,
I
perform towards the wall.
Yeah.
Ah, I can't remember where are the people?
Where's the audience at again?
Like, how do you forget?
I don't know.
Like, how to play the power play.
If I was the power play coach, I'd tell everybody, just skate around like a frigging wheel. I don't care what you do. Everybody skate in a circle the entire power play. I don't care. Just move around.
Players,
think of something.
Players go through slumps, and we see this.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the Sharks' best players are all going through a collective boycott
right.
of goodness at the same time. All of them. And the Sharks do not have the depth on the third and fourth line to compensate for it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't.
No,
they don't have guys on those lines that are able to score, despite filling them with so-called, playmakers that can't make any plays or score goals.
Right.
Right. That's another topic.
Yeah.
Okay. So, that's the biggest issue here because, really, other than the Columbus game, defensively, not bad.
No.
Not bad. All right. You know, last night is 0-0, basically, until they get, to the overtime.
0-0 against Phoenix.
And 0-0 against Phoenix. The Columbus game was disgusting, and I think the most disgusted I've been in a Sharks game since that Phoenix debacle several years ago where they lost like 8-0 in Phoenix.
Well, there was that 7-0 loss at the Tank to Chicago, I remember.
Yeah, God. Oh, that's right.
Seven
we were at
two.
That.
7-2
oh,
was the final.
Oh, God, that's right. Ooh, yeah, that was bad, too. But I think that one, at least you could chalk that up to Chicago was a good team.
Yeah.
Columbus is balls, dude. Yeah. Columbus is the dregs of society.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Columbus is awful. After probably their best effort of the year, they fired their GM. That's how bad they are. I mean, they're so bad.
Their third star of the game was Matt Calvert.
Yeah, who is
who
that?
Who is that?
I don't know.
Who is that?
He's a nobody. He's a missing person, probably. We saw him on a milk carton. Matt Calvert. Who knows, dude?
Matt Calvert.
Yeah.
Wow. It's rare when I can meet an NHL player that I've never, ever heard of.
The thing about the Columbus game that really pissed me off was that they quit. The Sharks quit when Columbus scored that first goal at the beginning of the third period. They just gave up. And it was disgusting to me. I really was upset because, you fall down 3-0 first game of a road trip, and then Marlowe comes back 30 seconds later and scores that goal. And you go, okay. All right, this is Columbus. Come on, boys. And they really put a push on,
mm-hmm.
They put a push on. And then going into the third period, I felt like, okay, we got a shot here. We got a shot.
Right.
And then they just, like the Niners in the Super Bowl, allow the kickoff to be returned for some sort of record. Sharks did the same thing. And then they were mentally on a flight to Nashville. They were gone.
Right.
That sucks. I hate that.
It's just, it's the worst. You're just giving points away when you get worked by a team like Columbus. Are these good teams? You see Boston come back against the Rangers the other night. And it's like, okay, that takes a Herculean effort. You think Boston's going out and losing to bad teams? They're not. They're beating everybody, and they're actually beating good teams and coming back against really good teams.
Well, that's a team with proven chemistry and proven success, all right? They have a formula that works.
It just shows you how far the Sharks seem to be right now away from being in that top echelon of teams.
So you've got two schools of thought here. You've got, the Sharks were 7-0, and we're overreacting because of a slump. Or you've got the school of thought that 7-0 was an aberration and this 0-6 is the true Sharks.
Right.
Now what is it? Which is the real team here?
It's somewhere in the middle. It is.
Yeah,
right?
You're right.
They're not 7-0 team and they're not 0-6 either. They're not either one of those teams, but the problem is that they shouldn't lose six games in a row to bad teams.
Yeah. The loss to Anaheim, I can handle. The loss to the Blackhawks was frustrating, which we talked about because they really had that game.
Yeah, they had it.
But
Phoenix, Columbus, and Nashville,
and
they should win.
It's going to get worse, dude, because the Blackhawks and the Blues, who finally won tonight in Detroit, and they're figuring it out just in time for the Sharks to come to town.
Yeah.
and then back to Chicago. Right. I mean, that's it could easily be 9 in a row.
We could lose 10 in a row because Dallas is hot.
It could ease, although Dallas, I think, lost tonight in Calgary, which is not good.
But that's almost as bad as losing to Columbus.
It's just not good news right now. We've got so many emails. We got a lot of comments on Twitter. So let's throw it over to the people, dude.
Yeah, because you hear us rant for the next 20 minutes. It's just going to be boring. You probably already turned it off anyway. Okay, I'm going to go back and take these chronological order. So 6 days ago, before everybody was in full-out panic mode, don't just sit there, panic, which is what I'm doing now. Here's John. He wants to respond to our question about Mike Rupp, about solving the Sharks' lack of physicality.
Which was solved by Matt Pellick, by the way.
Completely.
He's already gone.
Completely solved.
One game.
Mike Rupp played 60 games and had 5 points last season.
Right.
Pretty negative Corsi. Yeah. He says he wonders if the Sharks are being coached into playing a soft style. He remembers when they finally turned around in 2010, 2011. It seemed as though the keys to that turnaround involved finishing their checks much more frequently. Excuse me. They didn't continue that trend last season and seemed to be avoiding it this season. Perhaps the coaching staff wants to avoid injuries, especially considering the shortened season. I have no idea. I mean, right now, I feel hopeless about this team. Dude, I have no clue what's happening.
Weren't we told at the end of the year when everyone was so upset that the Sharks are going to be a much more difficult team to play against?
Adam Birch.
And they brought in Adam Birch, who I like.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Adam Birch. And honestly, his line last night was probably the best line.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And that's a whole nother thing with Martin Havlat playing on the fourth line. It's so stupid.
It's the dumbest
thing. To me, it's so dumb.
Right.
That I don't get that. And what has Ryan Clough done to deserve to play in the top six? The guy is Helen Keller out there right now.
I know.
He has no clue how to score. None. And he looks awful. But he is still getting those minutes. I mean, what do those guys have to do to get a shot? But I guess... dude, I'm so mad. Okay, so I'm not even sure how to respond to that question. I'm not saying Mike Rupp was the perfect person, but I take issue with the bottom six.
I got a little excited about Brian Boyle because I like Brian Boyle. Well,
would you trade Ryan Clough for Brian Boyle right now?
Straight up?
No. Think about this. Are you going to re-sign Ryan Clough?
Where's Brian Boyle in his contract?
He's got another year left after this at $1.7 million.
Then yes, I would.
So, yeah, I think I would too. I think I would too. Is Clough better than Boyle when he's playing at his best?
Of course, way better.
But he was not good last year, and he's worse this year. And are you really going to pay Ryan Clough $3 million to stay another 3 or 4 years? Right now, I say no. And in Brian Boyle, you'd be getting a legitimate penalty killer, a big body. He blocks shots. He's got playoff experience.
He's tough.
He's a good bottom six player. He's like the kind of bottom six guy that Stanley Cup teams, winners, have. We don't have a guy like that.
If it's even possible, he's a bigger Paul Gostad.
He is.
And Paul Gostad's huge.
This guy is the type of guy that I would love to have. I would love to have him. He's clearly in the doghouse. So, I don't know. It's not going to happen, but it's an interesting thought.
Okay, dude, let's take a break here, and we'll go to Noah, who's our resident Stars fan. I still can't believe a Stars fan's listening to a Sharks podcast.
I'm glad.
It must be the most annoying thing ever.
Well, I mean, clearly there's no podcast about the Stars.
It's true. It's unfortunately true.
All right. What's he got to say?
I was just
Noah, we're glad you're listening.
We are. Absolutely, we are. I was just thinking about the shortened season and thinking about what if the Sharks ended up winning the cup? Oh, wait, this goes on. Oh, I thought that was the joke.
But there's more.
Is this the year y'all would actually want to win y'all's first cup? I appreciate the Dallasisms in this. Is this the year you all would actually want to win you all's first cup? Not that any fan would ever want their team not to win, but do you think the media would try to minimize it as a fluke season and the only season the Sharks won was due to a shortened season? Oh.
Dude, I have a response to this.
Okay.
I didn't hear a single person talk about the Miami Heat win last year in the NBA lockout season as, a jip or something.
I heard like one guy say that.
I don't know how you could say that. Like, they were the best team, you know? So if you win, you win. You still have to go through that brutal tournament at the end.
Right.
You win. You get in. Like, I don't know. I don't, I don't care. If they won this year, I would run naked through the streets, dude. I mean, I'd be thrilled. I don't think I would stop after they won game seven in the Stanley Cup Finals and go, wait, this was the lockout year. I'm not excited.
And the reason, Noah, is because it doesn't matter. The regular season doesn't matter. The regular season is a seeding situation. If this was one of those situations where it was like the old style, like way back machine, old style baseball playoffs where like the winner of the American League plays the winner of the National League in the World Series and that's all.
Right.
Then the shortened season would mean something. But the fact is every team has to go through four rounds, usually between 20 and 25 games. It's a second season. And any team that can withstand that kind of pressure and competition for that long, for 2 months, deserves the Stanley Cup. And I really don't care how many games it took before that to get to the seeding that they got, because as we saw this year, the Los Angeles Kings came out of nowhere and went and won. We saw Carolina win, we saw Tampa Bay win, we saw the Ducks win. We see these lower seeds sometimes. Well, not all those teams were lower seeds, but we see these teams make a run, and it doesn't matter how good they were in the regular season sometimes. A lot of times.
Yeah. Unfortunately, right now, it doesn't matter what seed they are. I don't think that they would be able to make a run. The way they're playing right now. Now, as we're harping on them, they'll probably go out and win the next three. Right. You know that's going to be exactly what happens.
Of course.
No, I'm sure you're rolling in a pile of Ben Gay right now along with your old team, and enjoy your win streak, buddy.
And he also admitted the fact that, Ryan Whitney is now, or not Ryan Whitney. Ryan Whitney's a healthy scratch. Ray Whitney is out for like 6 weeks. So, that's, I can't say I'm shocked by that news. You have 40-year-old players. These are the kinds of things that happen.
Yeah, brutal, so, brutal bones break.
Yeah.
Drink your milk.
Paul Luke says, or Paul in Seoul, who used to be Paul in NYC, formerly Paul from Fremont.
Wow, world traveler.
Paul's been around, put it that way. Who would be on your all-time...
He's been on more teams than Ponikarovsky in the last year. Hey, welcome back to the Devils.
Who would be on your all-time Sharks top line, all-time Sharks second line?
Oh.
Top D pair, second D pair.
Wow.
Bonus question, which is really the reason I'm reading this email. Who are the fattest and skinniest Sharks of all time? That's the best question. Hmm. All-time Sharks top line, Brant Myers. Lynn Loins, because Lynn Loins is just a good name.
Yeah. All-time Sharks top line. Well, I think Jumbo clearly is your center, right?
Yeah.
I think on the second line, I'd put Damfus as my center.
Yeah.
So I love a good spousal abuse.
Oh, man. This is that
kind of week. Come on, dude. Come on. It was right there.
This is that kind of week, isn't it?
You got to have Owen Nolan, right?
You got to have Owen Nolan. Owen Nolan's on the top line.
So who's your other wing on the top line?
Patrick Marleau. Right? It's got to be. Who else are you going to put?
Nils Ekman. Okay. All right.
I guess I think you have to.
Okay. And second line, Corky and Bill Guerin.
There you go. Now we're done. Billy Pelton.
Second line. Goodness. So we've got...
I mean, I'm trying to think of the wasteland of the mid-90s, who was actually out there. I mean...
Kelly Kissio.
Yeah, Kelly Kissio, Pat Falloon, Jeff Friesen on the second line, maybe.
I think I'd rather have Joe Pavelski than any of those guys. Although, maybe that's only because he's fresh in my mind.
That's right.
I'm a top D pair, dude.
It's Boyle.
Boyle and Doug Wilson.
Yeah.
No.
Boyle and Ragnarsson.
No, not Ragnarsson.
I don't know. He's like top three in points for defense on Sharks.
Oh, goodness. Boyle and I guess...
Gary Suter.
Not the Gary Suter that we had.
Yeah.
But
I want the Gary Suter that cross-checked Paul Kariya in the face. That's who I want.
And on my second pair, I'm taking Brian Marchment.
Of course.
And Stanis Ozilinch.
All right. There you go.
Okay, fattest shark of all time.
Who's the fattest shark of all time?
Al MacInnis, dude, right?
Yeah, I was thinking it had to be, especially, when I played against him in that game.
I mean...
He looked like he ate Keith Kachuk.
He was big. He looked like the mom from Honey Boo Boo.
Actually, he wasn't quite as big as I expected. He really wasn't big, dude. He really was. I mean, he was big, but he wasn't Keith Kachuk big. I mean, he was big.
He was a big boy. Skinniest?
Wow, that's a tough one. Steve Gawala. He was like 5'7", a buck 05.
Ryan Vesey.
Yeah, Ryan Vesey was small.
I mean, it's hard to know how thin these guys are.
Yeah, because they're all covered in pads.
It's hard to know, but... yeah. Fattest, I mean, Kyle Wellwood's got to be in the conversation, right? Great question, Paul. We need a little levity, so thanks.
Thanks, Paul.
Appreciate it. All right, dude.
All right, we're on to Charlie. We got lots of emails this week. People are incensed, and with good reason.
Okay.
Charlie, just wondering your take on the Frazier McLaren grab by Toronto and how they're using him. He's been in 3 fights a week, and I can't help wonder if the Sharks could have used him a little bit more to get the toughness that I think we still need, even with the acquisition of Burrish. Curious to know your thoughts. So McLaren, surprised by the claim?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, I was too.
You know, he's kind of been around. You'd think he's a player that would be available, you know, to anyone if they wanted him. But how Toronto's using him, I actually looked. I mean, they're playing him like 3-4 minutes a night. It's the same as the Sharks were using him. It's just right. He's playing every night. I think he had played in 3 games and had a fight in every game.
Right.
So,
I mean, Toronto's, he's exactly more or less what he would have been for the Sharks. He's a big guy. He was an okay penalty killer in Worcester, but I guess not good enough at that at the NHL level. And so he's a big kid and they want him to go out there and mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, and he has. And for Toronto right now, on a huge win streak, it's paying off for them. I don't know if Frazier McLaren has much to do with it, but hey, if you're winning, you know, you're going to stick with that formula. But clearly the Sharks just, you know, didn't like what they saw enough to put him in a position to go through waivers. The same with Nick Petrecki, which, you know, obviously they don't like him that much because he had to go through waivers. You know, they didn't even...
I'll be drinking on that one in Vegas.
You will. Yeah, we had a little bet. I thought Petrecki would get claimed just because, you know, I don't think you see a former first-round pick go through waivers very often and go unclaimed. You know, we're seeing guys like Aaron Palucha get claimed, you know, by Colorado. But obviously no one else around the NHL likes him enough to want to play him in the NHL right now.
Yeah.
So not good news on Nick Petrecki, you know, and his projection.
Reading Kevin Kurz, he says it's more or less official now that Petrecki is a bust. He is a first-round draft pick bust. Because he said Erwin Akalatse and a couple other guys are clearly ahead of him in terms of who's more likely to make the NHL as a player. And so Petrecki, unless we see a turnaround of fairly epic proportions, is more or less doomed to be an AHL or minor league player for the rest of his career.
That's so unfortunate.
It's terribly unfortunate.
Very, very promising up front. So, I think the Sharks need more toughness. I've said that with the Mike Rupp business. And, you know, in the email before, you know, there were some names thrown out there like Wayne Simmonds and Troy Brower. I would love to have either of those guys.
Dude, Wayne Simmonds got traded for King's ransom. I mean, Wayne Simmonds, we'd have to give up a lot to get a guy like
but
that.
But he's not available. You know, Troy Brower, maybe he would be available because the Caps are going in the toilet. Someone like Joel Ward, I'd love to have either of those guys. Like, that's exactly the kind of player the Sharks need in the bottom six because they know what they are. And right now, the Sharks have, you know, guys playing in the bottom six that aren't capable of doing the dirty work or scoring goals. Neither. Yeah. So what's the point?
Yeah. Hi, my name is Daniela from Marketing Oh, wait, that's
spam. Dude, reading spam. Here we go. Chris.
I'm just kidding.
Don't forget Syar, dude.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Syar just said, seriously, 2-6 against Columbus? Are they just trolling us?
Table flip.
Yeah, which is pretty good.
I like that. That's about how I felt, too.
Yeah. Chris from Boston says, has Ryan Clough gotten slower since last season, or have the rest of the Sharks team, with the exception of Douglas Murray, gotten faster? I don't think so.
Doesn't look good.
He just doesn't look good. He was never super quick, but he's not moving in the right way. He's not moving. I honestly don't know what's really that wrong with Ryan Clough. It seems like he's playing similar style that he did last year, but it's just the puck's not going in. Maybe he was just, you know, playing over his head last year and getting really lucky, and this year he's regressed back to where he should be. I have no clue, but I mean, Marlowe's been absolutely invisible the last few games. Like, I haven't noticed him at all. Like, so, I mean, Chloe is not the only one here. Marlowe, I rarely notice.
Didn't you notice him when Damaris, like, fired the puck into his leg the other night? But, yeah. I mean, that was the only time I noticed him in the Nashville game.
I noticed Damaris because he takes some dumb penalties. He's, like, tripping a guy with the puck, like, 30 feet away.
There's so many guys...
I wish I
We're
had
playing the, so poorly right now.
And I wish I had the time to figure this out. You know, I wish I had like unlimited time to run stats because I would love to know if the Sharks are the number one team in the NHL to take a penalty while they're on the power play, because it sure seems like it. God, I can think of so many times where it's like, oh, they just like standard forecheck coming behind the net and then the guy just like sticks his leg out and trips him. Okay, 4-on-4.
Yeah. Okay. What? So other than Niemi, let's just try and praise a little bit here too.
Yeah.
Other than Niemi.
Yeah.
Best Shark so far. Best Shark.
Boyle? I don't
know. No.
No.
No. I mean, we love Dan Boyle, but he's been bad the last two games.
Yeah, last couple games is true. Okay. It's hard to find a bright spot at this point.
I've got one.
Who you got?
Brad Stewart.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Brad Stewart's been money.
Yeah.
I think he's a +7.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is not out there when bad things are happening. He's not out there.
It's true.
You know?
It's true.
And he's looked good. He's looked solid. And I mean, can we play Brad Stewart for 60 minutes?
Seriously.
Cause that guy doesn't look like he's lost much of a step. You know, Brad Stewart's been good. I mean, and Niemi has been outstanding, and it's really unfortunate that he's having to play with,
where he gives up one goal that he thinks they're going to lose.
It's just, they should be capitalizing on this hot streak of his because it's not going to last the whole year.
Right.
And instead...
He could turn into Brian Elliott.
Yeah, he could. I mean, you know, we know Niemi's hot and cold.
Yeah.
So when he goes cold and the Sharks still... And they get hot, they're still going to lose.
I know.
So, oh man, it's so frustrating, dude. What does Tom have to say?
All right, Tom says, this is more of a comment than a question. I've been very critical of T-Mac in the past and called for him to be replaced. Right now, though, I put this slide squarely on the players, specifically regarding the Columbus meltdown. The coaching staff does all they can to get the players prepared for each game. They have even improved in this department and did their part. The players, however, didn't do theirs. It's on the players to prepare mentally and to bring their best every night. They were well-rested and have no excuse. It's on them. They can't take responsibility. I think there's little choice but for DW to make changes on the roster.
So this was a question that I also put out on Twitter last night after the game. I said, after six losses in a row, how warm is the seat for head coach Todd McClellan? How warm?
Mm-hmm.
And there were, you know, answers.
You got some of the tweets here,
I've got some of the tweets, dude. There were answers in support of McClellan, and there were answers against. You know, we've got Paul saying he's tinkering too much with the Lions. And that seems to disrupted the early season success, you know? Evil Ducks, his choices of starting players, power play ineptness, and generally jumbling lines into uselessness should have him worried. I mean, can you disagree or agree with that statement?
I can't disagree with that. I don't necessarily ascribe to the idea that when the team isn't playing well, 15 minutes into the game, the solution is to put everybody with a new partner. This isn't a hoedown, you know? This isn't a square dance where you go around in the circle and play with every person there. I think sometimes you got to stick with some of these lineups, you know, sometimes. And I don't really understand the Martin Havlat playing with, you know, Tim Kennedy and the guy driving the Zamboni. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Zach says, definitely not the coach. He's switching things around and sending strong messages. This is on the players. TM is a great coach. Some people say he's the Bill Belichick of hockey. I've heard that. You know, Scott Gomez was talking about how brilliant McClellan is. And, you know, I mean, he has an amazing record. And when the Sharks were in the conference finals
regular
twice,
season record.
Well, I mean, but good success. I mean, they made the conference finals twice.
I'm just salty.
You know, he's not a bad coach.
No.
It's just sometimes a team reaches their limit with, you know, Doug Wilson has said himself, sometimes the classroom needs a new teacher.
Yeah.
And you just wonder if the message
is... Hitchcock is a new coach, is a good coach, right? Dave Tippett, good coach. Yes, right? Peter Laviolette, good coach. What do all these coaches have in common? They've all been fired before, right?
Right.
Almost every coach has been fired before.
Sure. Joe says, you can't fire the team, but how would they fare under Larry Robinson? Would it be different, dude?
See, this is a really important point because I think for that specific point, that's the reason why his seat is a little bit warmer than it might normally have been. I wouldn't say it'd be chilly under any circumstances, even if he had two no-names assistant coaching. But the fact that he has Larry Robinson standing next to him on the bench with the associate coach title, whatever the hell that means.
Oh, I've been suspicious of this from the moment it happened.
I know. And you rightly should be. But I think you sort of forget about this and you say, oh, the coach is going to take all the heat. Well, the fact is that there's a coach standing literally 4 feet to his left or right who is perfectly capable of stepping in.
That's like 9 Stanley Cup rings.
Right. And you can't, you couldn't say that about, you know, Trent Yanni and the other guys.
Shaw.
Yeah. It's like, you know, those guys are coaches and you know, Trent Yanni has coached before. He coached Toronto when they were like terrible before they got Kane and Taves. Right. But, you know, these guys don't have the pedigree that Larry Robinson does. So for that reason, I say the seat has to be a little warm for McClellan at this point.
Emily says, no, players need to take ownership of this. DW won't hesitate to make changes if they don't, won't, or can't. And Ian piggybacks on this by saying, what do you think is more likely, T-Mac going or Wilson pulling the trigger on a McGinn-like trade? That's what I fear more. What do you think would happen first?
You mean, I have to admit, I don't quite understand what that comment is, which is taking a guy who's playing really well and trading him for two guys who never play. I don't think that's what he means by the McGinn.
Well, I think what he means is not, the Sharks are in a position, dude, where they're not going to be able to move Marlowe, Thornton,
right,
Boyle. These guys have no trades. If they if they don't want to go and they've got high salaries in a year where people are trimming salaries, they're not looking to add salaries. Mm-hmm. So the cap is going down. So why are people going to take a $7 million player, you know, for what the Sharks would probably want in return, which is younger NHL level talent?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of trade is going to be very hard to make right now.
Yeah.
So I think they're stuck with the core players they have.
I think they're
so
stuck.
So the type of player that they could move would be someone like Justin Braun.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a mistake.
They could move Joe Pavelski, no problem. Well, they could move Logan Couture, no problem.
That's a mistake.
Of course.
And those aren't the kind of players, you don't point at those guys and go, that's the problem, you know? Mm-hmm. Although they're not helping, you know, necessarily, not recently, but yeah, I think the guy who you circle his name, it's Ryan Clough. Like, that's the guy that his contract is up. He's the most movable of these guys because someone takes him on. They don't have to keep him next year. He could be gone.
Right.
You trade a problem for a problem. Clough for Brian Boyle. I mean, it just makes way too much sense to me. Try and kickstart both teams. They're both kind of, you know, stumbling right now.
Yeah.
So, I think the second is more likely to happen, that there would be a trade of a secondary player than a coaching change.
I agree. Wilson's proven to be deliberate over the years. He doesn't just pull the trigger when they have a bad stretch.
But what if it gets to 10 in a row, dude? And I'm being serious.
No,
what if it gets to 10 in a row?
Very possible.
Which it could be extremely possible. What happens?
We're all pulling our hair out and yelling more on the radio.
Because there's so many managers or GMs that are loyal to, you know, you see in Buffalo. Buffalo's not playing well.
Yeah.
And you don't get the sense that...
And Lindy Ruff's been there since the Nixon administration.
I think it's since Lincoln. I don't think that Lindy Ruff is nervous about his job. Is Darcy Regier going to fire Lindy Ruff?
No.
I don't think so either. You know, is David Poile going to fire Barry Trotz?
No.
Probably not.
No.
You know, is the new GM in Columbus going to fire Todd Richards?
Oh, hell yes.
Probably tomorrow.
I think Todd Richards say something to that effect, which I thought was actually quite refreshing of him to say. He's like, yeah, my zone of comfort shrunk quite considerably or something like that.
I feel bad for that guy. Yeah. I mean, Tiger, he goes to Minnesota and
they suck.
You know, they suck. He goes to Columbus. Those guys play hard, but doesn't have a lot to play with there. And now he's got a new president and a new GM. And this guy, he's gone. They'll let him finish the season, but he's gone.
I hope he's, you know, putting money into
poor Tom Richards. You know, you feel bad for him. I mean, he's kind of snake bit, dude.
Yeah.
Oy, oy, oy. Yeah, you make a good point. The Larry Robinson presence is something to take note of, and I don't think it's any mistake that he's here. Now, I've sniffed it out from the beginning, dude. Yeah. I thought that if McClellan's team had an odd start or weird start, that he could be gone. It's the same. What did we say on IM yesterday? Said, well, the goaltending's better and the penalty kill is better, and somehow the team is worse.
I know. Those are the two things that weren't that great last year, and they got better in both of their biggest weaknesses, and they still suck. What the hell, dude?
So, does it make any sense? You know, when you see the two areas that they really needed to address, the penalty kill, which is way better.
Way better.
And the goaltending.
Very good.
Very good. And the team as a whole, not good right now. Not good. Yeah. So,
dude, you know what's going to happen is they're going to go out and they're going to kick the crap out of Chicago.
I hope so. Listen, I'm wearing my Shark shirt.
Yeah.
I know what we still love this team, you of know, course. I paid a lot of money at a silent auction a couple of weeks ago to get some, you know, player cards. I got to show you this thing, dude. I got like a framed like collage. It sounds
collage.
Like a sissy when I
it's
say
like
collage.
A diorama.
It's a bunch of sharks. So it's going to sound worse than I'm saying. It's a bunch of sharks trading cards.
You should just shut up.
They're all autographed, and there's glitter and a lot of sparkles and some sprinkles.
Sounds just like you.
Autographed Joe Thornton Olympic gold medal picture.
That's
in
cool.
The middle of it. This school's got Burns, Boyle, Pavelski. Even has old school choo-choo.
Nice.
Yeah, dude. So just you love the team, and I want to be talking positively about them, but we got to be realistic.
I know, we swung too far to the other way. Come on, boys. Let's get this thing back on the rails. Jeez.
It's just disappointing to feel like even if they regulate this a little bit and, you know, are a little less bipolar.
Nothing has been proven.
That there's nothing different, really.
Right.
And, you know, this is...
They're still going to be the same team.
It's
going to
be the same situation that when you run across a Vancouver or a Chicago in the playoffs, they're going to fall out.
Right.
And I don't have any reason to feel like they can beat either of those two teams when it counts.
Well, dude, we're going to find out this week.
Yeah. Well, when we come back from Vegas, dude, hopefully we're talking about a win streak and not a losing streak. And hopefully we'll be talking about us winning some cash money.
On betting on hockey, no doubt.
That's right.
If anybody's got any good tips for us, send them along. We could always use them.
Yeah. We'll be posting our bets on Twitter.
Good idea.
And you can berate us.
When we lose.
When we lose. All right, dude. I'll see you in the Sin City.
See you there.
Show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.